Well, today again is Mission Sunday, and every year we just take one Sunday out of the year, and we just feel like everybody who considers Citizen Church their church, I think you should know, what is our church a part of? What are we doing? What are our partnerships around the world? Are we thinking beyond just our city and just our state? And so that's what today is really showing us that. And when you think about the word missions, what is missions? What is global missions? And if you're new to church at all, you might be thinking, is that just missions trips or what is it? It's really a whole mentality. It's a movement. It's something churches should all be a part of. Jesus, if you didn't know, has given every Christian and every church a mission. Every Christian and every church a mission. And it comes from Matthew chapter 28, and it's called the Great Commission. Jesus, right before he ascends, says this very famous line that many of you have heard from the Great Commission, and he says this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I love this verse because it's a mandate. It's a commission. He's giving us our mission, not just the disciples back then. He's telling every person, every Christian, every church, you need to go, not to one nation, not to one people group, to all nations. And that's what makes global missions so fun and honestly why I'm so passionate about it. And our church does a lot of great things around the world. We have for many, many, many years. Our church is 93 years old. We've done a lot of amazing things around the world, and we want to share a few of those with you today. But before we do, and I'm going to be ending my message today with a powerful testimony about life change that has come out of our missions investment. But I want to share just for a few minutes why missions matters. Why does global missions really matter around the world? Why is it so important? There's a few reasons, and then I'll get to the meat of my message. You can write these down. The first one is this: God's heart has always been global. His heart has always been global. So why does it matter? Why should every church have a major department about this? Why should every church have a vision for global missions? Why should every Christian? Because God has a heart that's global. His heart has always been global. And when you look at the Bible from the very beginning to the very end, the book of Genesis, all the way through every single book of the Bible, all the way to the very last one, Revelation, we see that God's heart is global. In the book of Genesis, when he gave Abraham his promise of a blessing, this is what he says at the end of the verse. It says, "All peoples on earth will be blessed by you." Not just Israel, not just the United States, not just the Western Hemisphere, not just Europe. All peoples will be blessed by the people of God. And then you look in the book of Revelation. Revelation 7:8 gives us this beautiful picture, this image of heaven and what it looks like. And it says this: "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." I love that line: from every nation, every tribe, all people, every language. That's the picture of heaven, because God's heart is global. And global missions is not just a church idea, it's a God idea. Secondly, on this really quickly, why does it matter so much? Because Jesus commanded local and global. He commanded both local and global missions. A lot of people have asked over the years, you know, you look at the state of Albuquerque, you look at New Mexico, we're virtually last in every statistic. If you just moved here, yes, it's true, but stay with us. Stay here. Be part of the change. Okay, so anyways, thank you. Like, wow, that's depressing right out of the gate. Yes, but here's the truth. We've had people, well-meaning people with good hearts, and I understand the question, I do, have come up to me, even in the atrium over the years, have come up to us and said, "How can we invest so much in other places when our own home is in this much disarray? How can we invest everywhere else when we need to be investing here?" And the truth is, the Bible mandates both at the same time. Not one or the other, either or. The Bible says to do both. Jesus in Acts 1:8, as he's ascending to heaven, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you, us, will be his witnesses in Jerusalem. He's talking to Jews who are in Jerusalem, right? In their city, in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is what Jesus is saying. Hey, he's saying, hey, you're gonna have a local mindset and you're gonna have a global mindset. Today is all about global missions. Later this fall, we're gonna talk a lot about local missions and what we've historically done, what we're doing, and new things we're going to be launching. But I wanted you to hear it out of Jesus's mouth, and he kind of gives us this little bit of a vision and a mission right here in this verse. Think about it. He's talking to local Jewish people in Jerusalem. And he says, the first place you're gonna start with missions is where you are. That's the city that you live in. So yes, we need to be doing missions here in Albuquerque, and we do. And then he says, Judea, which is the region or the nation. So we need to have a local mindset. We need to have a regional or national mindset in who we're reaching. But then he also says, to Samaria. What does Samaria mean in that context when Jesus is talking then? Samaritans were in opposition to the Israelites. So when you think about people from Samaria and then you think about people from Israel, they were constantly in a battle, constantly arguing. They hated each other. So what Jesus is saying here is this: when I'm telling you to reach Samaria, I'm telling you to reach people that aren't like you. People that don't look like you. Maybe they don't have the same skin color. Maybe they don't speak the same language. Maybe they don't view how you view politics, whatever it might be. Jesus is all encompassing here. He's saying the gospel is not reserved for people who are like you and who just look like you. Then, in case he wasn't specific enough in telling people all of that, he says, to the ends of the earth, the entire world. So you see how Acts 1:8 is loaded, and that's where we get our mandate for local and global missions. And I want you to think about this. Jesus never gave us permission to pick where the gospel stops being preached. We don't get to say, that's good enough. We're not gonna go beyond Albuquerque. We're not gonna go beyond New Mexico. Jesus never gives us permission to decide where that stops. He says, to the ends of the earth. And thirdly, why does it matter? Because the early church modeled both. You look at the New Testament church, they modeled local and global. All through the New Testament, the first churches in those cities where the first churches were, there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of hardship, there was a lot of need in those cities. There was a lot of need in the churches. We see the Apostle Paul taking offerings from the church of Corinth because the church of Jerusalem was hurting and people were poor and needed help. We see the need was everywhere, but that didn't stop the church in Jerusalem from raising up Paul and Barnabas and sending them out as missionaries. Every church, every Christian, going back to the New Testament, is commanded to be locally minded, but also globally minded, sending missionaries, being generous with people around the world, and just acting in obedience according to what Jesus says. And that leads us to our church's vision statement. And if you're newer to our church, I think it's important for you to know our vision statement because it's all encompassing with this. And it simply says this: we are a Christ-centered, Spirit-led, kingdom-building movement committed to the physical and spiritual renewal of cities and nations, restoring hope and purpose to every person. Physical and spiritual renewal. Cities and nations. Every single person matters, no matter where they're from, what they believe, what color their skin is, what nation they're from. The Bible says to go. So for the next few minutes, what I want to do is look at our church's missions mentality, but it's really not our church's missions mentality. It's the Bible's missions mentality. What do we believe about missions? The church you're a part of, what do we believe? And I think it's important for us to know this and look in scripture and see where it's rooted. So if you're taking notes, number one is this: to refresh the hurting. To refresh the hurting. What do we do when we go? And we're talking about the Great Commission, going into all the world. What do we do when we're in the world on mission? Well, refresh. What does refresh mean? To strengthen, to restore, to renew. We meet people's immediate needs. We go into communities and say, what's the greatest physical need here? Emotional need, spiritual need. What are the immediate needs? In Matthew 25, Jesus is using a parable to teach his disciples and to teach us. And he's talking in this parable, and this is the passage where he says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. And he's teaching the disciples how important it is to meet people's immediate physical needs. And he says this, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. This is on the physical renewal side, but this is what it means to refresh people. We want to be a church and a people, no matter where we go, local or global, everywhere Citizen Church goes, we want to be known as Christians that refresh people. Yes, can I get a louder amen? We want to be known as Christians that refresh people, because if we're being honest, we've all met Christians that do the opposite of refresh people. We're like, honestly, you just zapped all the energy and vitality out of me with how grumpy and mean you are, and they're calling themselves a Christian. Anybody else? I want us to be a church that when people say Citizen Church is coming, or a Citizen Church group is coming to this part of the world, or we're doing this, I want them to immediately associate refreshment to Citizen Church. Why? Because that's how Jesus was associated with people back then. If Jesus came into a town, people's needs were going to be met. When we come into a town, when we come into a nation, we're going to meet people's needs, whether they're Christians or not, whether they believe like us or not, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus consistently met people's needs. He fed the hungry, healed the sick. He cared for the marginalized. Why? Because he loved them, and also because compassion for people opens people's hearts. When we're just compassionate, it opens people's hearts to meet the most compassionate one, right? It opens people's hearts to God, because the gospel is not just spoken, it's demonstrated. The gospel is not something where we can just show up and preach, and yes, preaching is amazing, and eventually we have to preach the gospel, but I'll tell you what, when we team up preaching the gospel with meeting people's needs, that's the whole gospel, and that's how people open their hearts to God. And over the years, I'm so proud, honestly, looking back over the years of what our church has done and meeting and people's needs and refreshing communities. We've built water wells around the world. We've fed the hungry around the world. We've rescued women and children from sex trafficking around the world. We have built orphanages around the world, medical centers around the world. We're a church that is committed to wherever God is calling us to go. We're gonna commit time, resources, energy to meeting people's physical needs. We meet physical needs because God cares about whole people. And before people ever hear about God's love, they often need to see God's love. Many of us, that's our story. Before you ever learned to hear about it, you had to see it in action in someone else's life. Number two, the second part of our missions mentality is to renew the broken. Renew the broken. 1 John 3:17-18. This is one of those, like, I'm just warning you. This is a hard punching verse. So read this with me. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That is pointed. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. In actions and in truth. What this is saying is words are meaningless if it is not backed up in action and truth. Words are meaningless. And what I want to camp out on this when it comes to renewing the broken, this is about long-term transformation, building communities wherever we go. The word renew means to rebuild, restore, and to strengthen over time. You know, there's so many mentalities from churches when it comes to global missions. I think a lot of churches with well-meaning hearts, and this is not a knock on anybody, I promise, and because it's so easy to fall into, will try to just view missions as checking boxes And what they'll do is they'll just find people groups around the world and in kind of an effort to pat ourselves on the back and just to obey scripture, we're gonna go do a missions trip and it's kind of a flash in a pan. Yes, we do some good help. We're gonna go help real quick, take some photos, make sure some real things happen and then come home and forget about it. And then we do the same thing in a different part of the world. But one of the things I'm so proud of with our church about 15 or 16 years ago, we moved from a shotgun approach in world missions like that to a rifle approach in global missions in the sense of we're gonna narrow our vision down to a few people groups and see lasting change over time. We do not want to be associated with groups in Christianity that go into a place and leave. And it's more about the impact on the people's lives who went on the trip rather than the people they went to minister to. And so when we commit to a place, we commit to a place for the long haul and the long term. It's about relationship. These are brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not just people we're helping. I want you to remember this. We are not the rescuers. God is. We're just being obedient to what God says in helping people. This step is about us helping build systems and structures and sustainability wherever we go to where there can be generational impact over time. Biblical love, I want you to understand this, in every facet, romantic love, friendship love, but especially this kind of love we're talking about today, biblical love is not temporary. It is committed. We can't say we love someone and then leave that someone and forget that they exist. Biblical love is committed. When you look at the New Testament, Paul did not just preach. He strengthened churches, developed leaders, and built networks because Paul knew the church needed to last beyond the first generation of disciples and apostles. He had a generational mindset. Relief helps for a moment. Renewal changes generations. The story we're going to hear in a few minutes is a story that we're gonna see where generations are being impacted because we committed to a place for the long haul. Thirdly, the third mindset is to redeem the lost, to redeem the lost. For being honest, this is the most important one because the gospel, yes, is meeting physical and spiritual needs, but if we're not meeting the most important spiritual need, then it is not the gospel at all. The word redeem means to rescue from sin and restore to God. To rescue from sin and to restore to God. This is the heart behind everything we do as a church, everything. Why? Because Jesus said this. Luke 19:10, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, "For the Son of Man," talking about himself, "came to seek and to save the lost." That's why he said he came, to seek and to save the lost. Romans 10:14-15 says this, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." One of the missionaries we saw on the video, and if you're watching online, it was the portion of the video that was blacked out just for that moment. They're missionaries that we support in Morocco and have for a long time and will continue to do for a very long time. I can't say their names because where they're at and the kind of missionary work they're doing in Morocco, their literal lives are at stake, their livelihood and lives. But I remember talking to this missionary, and he's such an inspiration to me. I tell people all the time, when you're around him, and you walk away from a conversation, you feel like you're talking to a disciple that lived in Bible times. He's just so on fire and passionate. He and his wife and all their small children, I believe it's 5 or 6 kids now, are there in Morocco giving their entire lives because they passionately love the Muslim community. And they believe God loves the Muslim community and desperately wants salvation through Jesus Christ. And they've given their entire lives to it, their lives. I remember a few years ago, I asked him in a conversation and I said, "Hey, tell me stories. Like, how many salvations have you seen over the last 7 or 8 years? And he just looked at me and said, "Man, we have worked and worked in so many conversations, but it's just a handful, 4 or 5. I said, wow, walk me through that. Is that, how does that feel? What does it feel like? And he said, honestly, at the beginning, I was so disappointed and it was hard for me. And he said, honestly, when we come back, because every few years they have to come back to the States and raise money and itinerate for a year. And he said, when I come back trying to book churches, he said, I don't necessarily blame them, but it's hard. Churches won't have me in or support us because they need to go to their congregations and say, this missionary is winning thousands of people. And so we're gonna sow into them. And he said, that's great. And I'm glad some missionaries see that in different parts of the world. But he said, here, we're tilling the ground. We're planting seeds. We're planting seeds, and it's so hard. And it's such so inspiring because I always remember praying after that saying, God, could I devote my entire life living among people that don't want me there, but people I love, and I know you love, to see that little fruit with my own eyes? It's challenging. And on top of that, I want you to consider the law in Morocco. I want to read just a little bit of an excerpt from the written law, the penal code, and it talks about proselytizing or evangelizing, sharing your faith. It is illegal in Morocco to share your faith with a Muslim if that Muslim feels at any point you're trying to get them to question their faith in Islam. It's illegal, and I want to read to you what it says. In Morocco, the law prohibits trying to convert a Muslim to another religion, and engaging in proselytizing of Muslims can be a criminal offense under the Moroccan Penal Code. Code Article 220. Under Article 220 of the Moroccan Penal Code, it is illegal to employ incitements to shake the faith of a Muslim or to convert him to another religion. A person who attempts to do this can face imprisonment, typically 6 months to 3 years, and a fine commonly in the range of 200 to 500 Moroccan dirhams. And that's the environment that these amazing missionaries said, here I am, Lord, send us, send us. This is convicting to me, as a side note, convicting to me, because we walk out of this building today, walk out of our North Campus, our Maui Campus, and we live in a country where you can share your faith with anyone at any time. Anyone at any time. And let's be honest, this isn't meant to be any kind of judgment on anybody. I'm convicted too. When was the last time we, in a free nation, shared our faith with anyone? And these people that we're financially sponsoring are committing to do it in an environment where they can be arrested and taken away from their children. That's why we invest. And the reason why our missionaries there and all over the world and why we're so passionate is because at the end of the day, we're gonna close our eyes in this life and open them in the next. And then that verse from Romans chapter 10 really comes alive. How can they hear if no one goes? How will they ever get saved if they never hear the gospel? That's why we are committed to global missions. Yes, we feed people. Yes, we build communities. Yes, we train leaders. Yes, we meet all of the physical needs. But above all, we do preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I think we can clap to that today. Because I want you to remember this. It's not just about helping people live better. It's helping people live forever. That's why we do this. It's help for today and hope for eternity. Help for today and hope for eternity. I mentioned a few minutes ago, we saw in the video that about 15 or 16 years ago, we narrowed down that vision and we started investing in a few people groups. One of those people groups is the amazing, beautiful people group, the Tatamata people outside of Chihuahua City in Mexico. I remember going on the very first scouting trip when we were narrowing down this vision. There was a missionary, a missions consultant that we had brought along that has a network and some connections. And we were really asking God, what people are you calling us to? And we felt it was the Tatamata. We went on this first scouting trip to see if there were any known believers or missionaries that were working with the Tatamata people. And we found a missionary through these connections, missionaries Chris and Heather Nickerson. And they were just at that moment starting something called Lightshine. And the vision of Lightshine was to minister to the kids of the Tatamata community in that colonia or that little village within Chihuahua City to help better the children's lives, to eventually build a building where children would be fed and educated and they could have hope for college, and all the while showing them the love of Christ. Here was the problem though. When we met with the missionary, Chris, there weren't any known believers at that time. There were rumors of there may have been a baptism in the Sierra Madre Mountains in one of the villages of the Tatamata. There might have been a couple believers at one point, but missionaries have come and gone over the last 100 years with no success or fruit of salvation. And I remember one person we met with said, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, straight up, this was not Chris Nickerson, by the way, this was somebody else. He said, I don't know if it's worth it. Yes, they're amazing people, but this is a dried up well. People have tried for 100 years to no avail. And I remember my dad was the senior pastor back then. And I remember looking over at him when this man said this and just tears in my dad's eyes and that grit of, then this is exactly who we're going to minister to. And we started partnering with Lightshine, and many of you in that first wave started sponsoring children. And this has grown into a thriving over the years ministry. We've helped build buildings. Now there's a thriving church in that building. There's education with hundreds of children in that building. Hundreds of children every day are being fed in the building through Lightshine. Now the gospel has been preached and people are being reached all through that colonia. Now with the Tatamata people up in the Sierra Madre Mountains, and change is everywhere. But guys, today we have something very special because an amazing couple from that area has come, and I want you guys to help me welcome to the stage Sammy and Marisol Garcia. Sammy is the youth pastor at the church in Lightshine, also one of the directors of Lightshine. His wife, Marisol, is Tatamata, and she just has an amazing story about our partnership with Lightshine and how it changed her life, her family's life. And I just wanted to interview them for a few minutes. You two are heroes to me. And I am so grateful for your partnership and everything you're doing with Lightshine. Marisol, you grew up in Lightshine, and I would love for you to share your story and testimony. You speak Tatamata and also Spanish, and so Sammy will be translating, but I want you to lean in and listen to the story and how powerful it is.
Good morning, my name is Marisol.
I'm
speaking in my native language. I am Tatamata and my people are from the Sierra Madre Mountains.
Muchas gracias por dejarnos hablar con ustedes.
Thank you for allowing us to speak to you.
Estoy muy nerviosa porque es mi primera vez que hablo con ustedes.
I'm very nervous because this is my first time talking to you.
Y Citizen es más grande que toda mi colonia Tarahumara donde crecí.
And Citizen is bigger than my entire Tarahumara colonia where I grew up.
Yo crecí en colonia Tarahumara, que es su colonia también.
I grew up in colonia Tarahumara, which is your colonia.
Y ahora estamos aquí porque nuestras vidas han sido transformadas por Dios.
And today we are here because our lives has been changed by God.
A través de su amor por Lightshine y los Tarahumaras.
Through your love for Lightshine and the Tarahumara people.
Yo fui uno de los primeros 21 niños en Lightshine hace 16 años.
I am one of the first 21 children in Lightshine 16 years ago.
Sammy entró 2 años después.
And Sammy joined 2 years later.
Ahora hay cientos de niños y jóvenes en Lightshine y 3 iglesias tarahumaras en todo Chihuahua.
Now there are hundreds of children and teens in Lightshine and 3 tarahumara churches throughout Chihuahua.
Como casi todos mis amigos, llevo así una vida de las calles, el paganismo, las drogas y el alcohol.
Like most of my peers, I was headed toward life on the streets, paganism, drugs and alcohol.
Algunos de mis amigos de ese tiempo ya murieron.
Some of my friends from that time are now dead.
Pero después de muchas luchas y por mucho estudio de la Biblia,
but after many struggles and through much Bible study,
y por muchas oraciones del equipo de Lightshine y de la iglesia Tarahumara de Lightshine,
and many prayers by the Lightshine staff and the leadership of the church,
y de mis mentores en Estados Unidos, yo me arrepentí de mis pecados y le entregué mi vida a Jesús.
And my mentors in the US, I repent of my sin and gave my life to Jesus.
El Espíritu Santo empezó a cambiarme y me convertí en testimonio para mi familia.
The Holy Spirit began to transform me and I became a witness to my family.
Después mi mamá también le entregó su vida a Cristo.
Eventually my mom gave her life to Christ.
Y al final mi papá dejó el alcoholismo y también se entregó a Jesús.
And finally my dad left alcoholism and surrendered to Jesus.
Wow.
Sam y yo nos graduamos del colegio bíblico por Lightshine.
Sammy and I both graduated from Bible College through Lightshine.
Sammy ahora es pastor de jóvenes y los dos dirigimos la alabanza en la iglesia.
Sammy is now a youth pastor and we lead worship at church.
Juntos enseñamos y discipulamos a los adolescentes en dos colonias tarahumaras.
Together we teach and disciple teenagers from two tarahumara colonias.
Mi papá es un director de Lightshine y pastor de una colonia tarahumara y mi mamá es maestra allí.
My dad is a pastor and director in a tarahumara colonia and my mom is a teacher there.
Sam y yo estamos casados y estamos criando a nuestros dos bebés para que amen y sirvan a Cristo.
Sammy and I are married and we are raising our two babies to love and serve Christ.
Muchos niños y jóvenes tienen historias como la mía.
Many children and teens have stories like mine.
Dios está transformando a familias y colonias enteras.
God is transforming entire families and colonias.
Y como el cuerpo de Cristo Tarahumara, estamos regresando a las montañas para discipular a nuestra gente.
And as the Tarahumara body of Christ, we are going back to the mountains to disciple our people.
Dios está haciendo milagros.
God is doing miracles.
Y les pido que por favor consideren apoyar a Lightshine.
I ask you to please consider to partnering with Lightshine.
Para que más familias tarahumaras como la mía sean transformadas de muerte a vida.
So that more tarahumaras families can be transformed from death to life.
Por sus oraciones y apoyo, Dios me salvó y cambió mi vida.
Through your prayers and support, God saved me and transformed my life.
Gracias por enviar a Chris, a Heather y a Raquel para empezar Lightshine.
Thank you for sending Chris, Heather and Raquel to start Lightshine.
Y las iglesias tarahumaras.
And the tarahumara churches.
Gracias por amarnos.
Thank you for loving us.
Sepan que mi pueblo está orando por ustedes fielmente.
Please know that my people are faithfully praying for you.
Los amamos mucho.
We love you.
Gracias y que Dios los bendiga.
Thank you and God bless you.
It's really emotional for me, you know, especially this service, because in my line of sight, I see my dad and I see Bruce Stidworthy, and we were on that trip, and I just remember I was a young man and watching these two leaders in our church have tenacity, and they saw this before other people did, and I'm so grateful that we have this missions mentality as a church, and I'm grateful for you and your mentality and how you're reaching young people and discipling. You two are the future, and I believe so strongly your children are the future, and we love you so much. You talked about taking the gospel back into the mountains, and you told us this last night at dinner, and it just blew my mind. You're putting on a pastor's conference in the mountains called Maranatha. Can you tell us a little bit about that conference and what's happening? Because it's hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Yeah, so this year we are having a conference with pastors and leaders on the mountains, and we are expecting like 500 pastors and leaders from the mountains, and we are excited for that. The past years. We meet on our building that you help us to build. But this year is gonna be on the mountains, and we are expecting that pastors and leaders, and so we are excited because most of the pastors they are alone on the mountains. So our goal is to work together to share the gospel in the mountains, and we want to the body of Christ can work together. That's our goal. Yeah.
Wow, I think that's awesome. It's so hard for me to wrap my mind around what the Holy Spirit is doing, and I want to pray for you guys because you need the power of the Holy Spirit and protection and. If God has done this in 16 years, what is he going to do in the next 16 years through you? And it's such an honor to work with you. Would you guys stretch out your hands and let's pray for Sammy and Marisol. God, we come before you today and I just pray for this amazing, amazing, powerful couple. God, first of all, we just give you glory and we say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to partner with Lightshine. Thank you for this amazing people, the Tarahumara people, so kind, so loving. And God, you love them so much that revival is happening right now through great leaders who have said yes, like Sammy and Marisol. God, I pray for them as a couple. I pray for their family, their two young children. God, I pray for this conference coming up in April. All of these pastors and church leaders, God, I pray for those services that the fire of the Holy Spirit would come. God, that more churches would multiply and that people would understand the hope that is in Jesus Christ, that salvation would come, baptisms would come. God, I just pray that you would use this as an example for people to reach people groups all around the world, God. Let it not stay just with the Taramata, but spread all across the world. God, we thank you for this amazing couple. We thank you for Light Shine, and we thank you for your call to missions. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Love you. Thank you, Marisol. Love you. Give them a huge round of applause. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. At this time, I'm going to ask CJ Rodriguez and Raquel Escobel to come. There are two missionaries that we've sent out. Give them a huge round of applause. Over the last couple of years, we've raised up our first two missionaries to send full-time around the world. And Raquel, I was watching you, you know, you're crying during this conversation because this is where you are called. You are full-time at Light Shine, and you get to see so much of this miracle right before your eyes. But it's a big deal, and it takes a lot of fundraising, and it takes the backing of people to stay there full-time. Why don't you just share a little bit about what you're doing and what your greatest needs are right now?
Yeah, man, God has been so faithful. Thank you guys, seriously, for trusting me, sending me out, and allowing me to be a part of all that God's doing out there. Right, some of our needs, prayer, please pray for us. Give us wisdom as we go out, as Sammy mentioned about going out into the Sierras. Give us wisdom to go and to reach the people, as a lot of times we experience violence through the cartels and different cartel groups that run those areas. So pray for wisdom. And then come and be a part of what we're doing there. Come on a trip. One of our goals this year is to send every church at least once out there to be a part of what God's doing in the Sierra. It's an incredible experience to see the little communities and little pockets of Taromadas out there.
It's honestly life-changing.
Yeah.
I think everybody in our church needs to go once to see what we're talking about in this message today and what you guys are doing. It's phenomenal. Sorry to interrupt you.
Okay.
I just had to say something.
And then last, partner with me financially. Last year, this time, I was able to raise everything that I needed for the whole year in one weekend. And it takes so much stress off of me and allows me to focus on what I'm doing out there and allows me to focus on ministry. So I want to say thank you guys for that. Tomorrow night, I'm having a dinner at 6:30 here at the Central Campus. So come, Sammy and Marisol will be there. Come hear more about all that we're doing out there.
And hear about what you're doing, how to get involved. I mean, it's a fundraising dinner. And again, she left that dinner last year at this time and had her fundraising done, which would be amazing. So before CJ speaks, I just want to say this. Beyond what the church does as an organization with each of them, I would love for the day to not end today or the dinner tomorrow without these two, all their financial needs being met. So whether you're here at North, how cool would that be for them to be able to go back with all of that support? CJ, where are you at? What's your greatest need?
So right now I'm in an itineration season or a fundraising season with the goal of heading back to Kenya actually the day after Easter. So just to piggyback off of what Raquel said, prayer is huge. And I know it would mean the world to me and to her if you guys would just choose to partner with us in prayer, because prayer has to be the foundation of everything we do as missionaries. To go along with that, there are also some financial requirements that I have to meet in order to go back in April. And currently, I need about $1,800 in monthly commitments to go. And what that looks like practically is if there were 100 people in this house today who say, I can partner with CJ for $20 a month, the price of an extra protein Chipotle bowl.
Extra protein.
Then I can leave here today fully funded.
Honestly, it's amazing. I think you will. And I would love to be able to celebrate next Sunday that we did this for you guys. You're phenomenal. I want you to think about their yeses. Raquel says yes, full time. in Chihuahua City with Lightshine. CJ said yes to God full-time in Kenya. And you two are such great examples, and I hope as inspirations to a whole young generation coming up to what their call to God might be with World Global Missions, because we need more people like you around the globe. Can you guys give them a huge round of applause? Stay here just for a sec. How I want to end today here at our North Campus and our Maui Campus, if everyone would stand, we're going to end in praying over them, but then also all of our missionaries. And what they said about prayer is very important. So hang on just for a second. I want us to pray, because prayer goes before people. And I really believe that prayer is what strengthens people, protects people. So we're going to pray over them, all of the missionaries we support, and over our church's endeavors this year, and because I can't wait to celebrate next year all that God has done. If you would stretch out your hands and pray over them. Father, we thank you so much for Raquel and CJ. And God, I pray that you would protect them. God, I also pray that through generosity, they would leave today, the dinner tomorrow, fully funded, everything they need to remove the financial stress off of them, God, so where they can go back to where you've called them without that stress and just hit the ground running in ministry. God, I pray for all of our missionaries around the world. God, I pray for our missionaries in Europe, South America, different parts of Africa. God, I pray for every missionary that we support, every missionary we don't support around the world. God, I pray that you would just bring your Holy Spirit power to them, and then also to every endeavor that we take as a church, our missions trips this year, all the giving that we do, God, the praying for everything. God, I just pray today in Jesus' name that you would bless our endeavors, protect everyone involved, and God, that you would bless our missionaries. God, we thank you for today, and in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.